Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. It is a beautiful day in the A. I feel like fall is here, Mike. The weather is great. People are outside taking their dogs for walks. The parks are full. And then you got the situation going on at Georgia.
Oy, oy, oy.
Here's the deal. Let's put this on the table right now. We are not calling for anybody's job. Not yet. But we have to address that Georgia continues to get young men arrested for whatever reason, and we're going to explain this latest one. And, Mike, this is what people around the country see and want to talk about. They don't want to talk about Carson Beck. They don't want to talk about ETN. They don't want to talk about beating Auburn. They want to say, oh, what's going on down there at Georgia? Because when it's any other school, that's what we do. We go, oh, what's going on at Auburn? What's going on at Kentucky? Here's the deal. Kobe Young, one of the wide receivers, starting wide receivers at Georgia, arrested early morning Tuesday on a misdemeanor charge of battery and assault of an unborn child. Now, when you read that, you go, what in the world? But Mike, allegedly, again, this is all alleged. We do not have, you know, the full details. This is what's being reported. But he did not put his hands on her or on her belly or any of that. He did put his hands on her. But this is according to Athens-Clarke County jail records. So here's where I'm at on this, Mike. Kirby Smart, now, you said this months ago, and we kind of just went, okay, he's got to start letting guys go continuously.
Right. Now, Ra-Ra Thomas had his day in court, and eventually, you know, Kirby said he had to be away from the program, and he's gone. And in this case, as if you're new to the show, we still believe in that, you know, it's what makes this country great. Innocent until proven guilty. But all indications are pointing in a direction that this guy's going to get kicked off the football team. If Kirby doesn't, I think Kirby doesn't like to be cornered by people. He doesn't want to be pushed by the media or whoever. Who's going to run his program, how he runs his program. It won't, like, for instance, the ETN suspension, which wasn't a suspension. ETN didn't play against Clemson, and then Kirby didn't really address it. But at this point, I mean, you just got to start saying, you're out. You know, and, you know, the optics on this are terrible. You know, if you got to, like, if he's crazy or she's crazy, or they're both crazy, either way, get away from her. We've talked about this. You got your entire life and your career, if you want to get to the NFL, at risk if you're involved in a toxic relationship, whatever the case is, whether you're right or she's right or who's wrong, whatever. But either way, Kirby, just suspend him. Let it play out like you always let it play out. But at some point, to Carl's point, to start the program, you start to look like every football factory that everybody points fingers at, going all the way back to like Barry Switzer in Oklahoma, to Miami in the old days. It's just programs that look like they're running amok. And there is no moral compass, and there is no way up other than just win football games. So at some point, you got to start making some tough decisions. It's not that tough decision. You're gone. Transfer from Miami. Adios.
I think for those of you who believe that Kirby has done everything that he can do, I would simply ask you this. He is head of the program. He is the face of Georgia. I didn't say football program. I said Georgia. There are more people around the country who know Kirby Smart's face than they know the governor. Sorry, governor. It's just what it is. And so, Mike, when you're the face, and this is your house, and this is going on in your house, it seems like you've lost control of what's going on in your house. When it happens over and over and over. Growing up, there was a family that had four boys that lived two doors down from us, two houses down from us. And these boys, the Gonzalez boys, were always in trouble. Always in trouble, doing right. Something. The younger kid, the older, the middle kid, they were always into something. And it was always a question of, do those parents ever control their sons? And it got to a point, Mike, two of them got put in jail. One of them, God bless his soul, he's gone. They were always in the stuff. And you just wondered at what point the parents were going to intervene. And if you're going to tell me, well, sometimes, Dukes, you can't intervene. Sometimes kids are going to be knuckleheads, and that's fine. To Mike's point then, get them out of here. But this cannot continue to happen as Georgia is chasing an unprecedented third national championship. They're not out of it. They're in the mix of it. And I just feel like Kirby has to stand up, Mike, and have some accountability here. And this is what I mean. For all the things that you're saying about him not being pushed and not wanting people to really know what's going on, I think it's time. I think it's time for him to say, hey, dog fans, here's what we do in these situations, and this is what we try to get accomplished. So everybody's on the same page. Right now, you got a lot of fans, Mike, wondering what the hell goes on. Are these guys running bleachers? Are they just sitting out? Okay, so he misses a game. What's the process? And I think it's a very gray process right now when we talk about Georgia and these incidents.
Well, Jerry Moorhead, you know, the UGA president, when are we going to hear from him about these things? You know, I mean, it is getting now to a point where it's, you know, I don't want to use a phrase like epidemic, but it's however you want to qualify. They got a lot of stuff going on off the field. that ain't good. You know, we talked and we've said, look, you know, kids with cars, it is what it is. But you'd think that somebody out there might realize that maybe, just maybe, you can't be doing the things after you lost two young people to driving like idiots. So it's one of these things where nobody's really, I don't know, Carl, learning their lesson at Athens. Can we just call it what it is?
Yeah, but why? Well, because is it not being reinforced?
I don't know. I mean, I've always felt that, you know, Saban, you know, kind of handled things his own way. And because, you know, he worked, let's be honest, and was treated with kid gloves in Tuscaloosa by a media which is never going to challenge him. And anytime, you know, the AJC writes anything which is in some way, you know, inflammatory or, you know, if you feel like it's an investigative piece, it's immediately called a hatchet job. Now, some of it, I got to be honest, after the action, I thought some of the journalism was not above board. They sent a guy who doesn't cover sports to cover a football team. So some people feel that, well, AJC's got an agenda. Well, there's stuff going on, and somebody's got to be covering it and addressing it. You know, at what point does somebody who cuts a big check at Athens say, Kirby, we got to start making, you know, some harder decisions, and some of these guys aren't right for the program. They're not right to represent the University of Georgia.
404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. Let us know what you think on the text line. Find us on social media. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes in this radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. Of course, follow the radio station at 929 The Game and stay up on everything that's going on in the world of sports. We're starting here because, again, this is one of the latest things. Georgia is in the midst of SEC play. That continues this weekend. I mean, Mike, the timing is never good, but we just said this with Randy Mack. The more distractions you have, the harder it becomes throughout the course of the season to get to where you want to come. Go. And Mike, sometimes you can overcome this stuff. Maybe this is not a big deal, and ultimately this case is dismissed or whatever happens. But we're still talking about it, and people are still going to be talking about it, and people are still wondering what's going on. So I don't think it just disappears, just like these other things that have happened.
Well, I mean, with the transfer portal, you know, you're getting a kid that – do you have the same familiarity you did when you were recruiting him from the time he was a junior in high school?
Good point.
You know, you're getting a guy who's gone to another school, was recruited by Miami. He's from upstate New York, went to the U, and you've got him because he's got a skill set. Are you getting, you know, under the fingernails of this kid? Probably not. Probably not to the level you know – look – you do the best you can. It's not the white shadow where you got to watch eight guys. You know, you got over, you know, 85 people you got to watch in the program. But I do think that maybe the due diligence when it comes to some of these transfers isn't there.
Yeah. And for Kirby, again, when you are the face, this falls on you. Whether you like it or not, nobody debates he's a great coach. Nobody debates what his record and his resume says. Nobody debates he's not a family man. We can talk about all that stuff. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the fact that his kids continue to make the same mistakes over and over, and this is a very short time. We're not talking about 20 years ago when this happened. Mike, we're talking about over the last 4 or 5 years where you've had a range and an array of issues within the program where guys are getting speeding tickets, arrested, reckless driving. You know the story. And so that is why I'm adamant about this today with Kobe Young. Don't know what's going to happen with him. All I know is it's got to stop.
Yeah, and I know there's some fans, it's funny, because you know how it goes today. You got some folks out there like, blah, 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 I don't care. You
just know, win?
Figure out a way to win the SEC, and when you rematch with Alabama, they don't give a crap about any of this. You know, and again, like, the bar has been lowered. As we know, guys, there were years and years of the – you know, when I say – for guys who don't follow my – a football factory, a win at all costs. The academics don't friggin' matter. It is what it is. And nowadays, guys, the lines are so friggin' blurred with the transfer portal and NIL. These guys are all semi-professionals. So you're kind of getting – you know, when you get into this transfer portal window, you know, and you work with, for lack of a better word, mercenaries – you know, do you have a guy who's buying into your ethos, who buys into your culture? And, you know, and Kirby does have an ethos, and they do have a culture, and it produced 2 national championships. But since then, it's kind of wobbled.
Yeah.
Not, you know, you don't have an ethos. Hawks ethos is playing in game. But anyway, getting back to the dogs.
He's trying, Mike.
Resulting. No, but you've got to create or try to get back to what you had 19, 20, 21.
Yeah.
22.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. Can we get real about this season, too? They're not as good as they were, right? They're just not. So Kirby has to coach up these guys in a bigger way than he did, Mike, when he had all of that NFL talent waiting to go to the league. Mm. Not saying they're not going to send guys to the league. But this team's not as good. I don't care what any of you say. It's just not. They're not dominating the competition. They're winning, but they're not like, whoa, this team has got it. I haven't seen that yet. Doesn't mean that they won't end up in the SEC championship game. Doesn't mean that they won't be in a playoff. But it also means you've got to do some extra. And I think, Mike, when you're trying to do that and you got nonsense like this going on with Kobe Young, it's a problem. And it screams what is going on at Georgia.
Yeah, like if you want to win at all costs and you don't give a crap about the optics, and there's some fans out there that do, and it's a shame. But, I mean, like you want to be able to win. It's funny because, you know, I went to a school, Florida State, where, oh, my God, they got free sneakers and clothes from Dillard's. It's like, man, think about that. That was like a major controversy back in the mid to late 90s. And now it wouldn't even move the needle compared to some of the things that are going on around campuses and what's specifically going on around UGA. You know, we just, guys, it just looks bad. The optics on this are bad. And if you don't know anything about Georgia, you know, people will go tisk tisk. And we get that. But if you're a fan, you're following us, and you got to feel pretty awful about this.
Yeah. And again, go ahead and name me the other program around the country that's gotten this kind of exposure over the last 4 or 5 years because of the foolishness that's going on in the football program. 404-726-0929. Yes, they won back-to-back national championships. Yes, they are the premier program. I still believe that in the country. There are some good teams this year, including the Longhorns and everybody else. Georgia has put their stamp on college football. And that is why I think this is a bigger deal. If they weren't winning chips, Mike, if they weren't winning SEC titles, if they weren't the prominent program, this would not be a big deal. But it is.
Yep. So you got an optics issue with Georgia, but as you said, and when you're winning, when you're kicking butt and you're taking names, you know, a lot of this stuff kind of falls to the side. But again, it's in your face. I mean, you'd have to be an ostrich, stick your head in the sand to not see what's going on here. It looks bad. And as I said, where's the leadership on this issue if Kirby's going to sit there and say, I run my program how I run my program? You know, I mean, where's Josh Brooks on this? Look, Josh Brooks does a great job raising money.
He does.
And his job is to keep giving everybody everything they need to win championships. And he does a really good job. But where's Dr. Moore? Where's the president on this?
All right. Coming up, I know you guys talked about it yesterday, but we actually have the sound of Kirby talking about the fans' commitment and where that's at, which is a whole nother conversation before we came in today and heard about this Kobe Young situation. All right. We're coming back. We got to talk about our Falcons, guys, because this is a big week. I'm going to tell you why, and it's not what you think it is, when we come back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Fire Robert Saleh today after a 2-3 start, but it's deeper than that. We'll discuss coming up in our NFL Blitz at 3 o'clock. We're talking about the Dogs. Lots of response from listeners and just casual fans. There's some people like, Dukes, I'm not a dog fan, man, but I'm with you on this. Like, it's multiple times I've heard you and Bell talk about these incidents over the last few years, and I just think, you know, Kirby's got to be more responsible. And when we say that, again, I just think transparency is part of this. It's not that he's not telling his kids. I've said this. I'll stand up for Kirby. We're going to talk to Rusty Manziel about this and much more as the Dogs get ready for this weekend. But, you know, Mike, it's not as if they don't have these meetings. You know, there's this idea like he's running, you know, these guys are running amok. They sit these kids down. They tell them, here are the expectations. Here's what you can and can't do. This is what's expected of you. And if you break these rules, there will be consequences. And just like with everything else, and this is not me defending it, I'm just being a realist, there are going to be individuals in that group that break the rules because that's what happens. But when they do, how do you react? How do you respond, Mike? What is the punishment? What are you doing so that fans know, hey, if these situations happen with our program, we got it covered?
I know that the roster limit for football is 105 players. That's 105 dudes you got to keep tabs on. Guy hit me up on Twitter. He says, Carl, did Mike really reference the White Shadow? These youngins won't know that reference. Well, for those who don't know, it would be a good show for CBS to revisit. But a white coach in the inner city in L.A., you can look it up. But anyway,
great show.
The idea that, you know, you're going to know intimately everything. Well, again, you also, if you're Kirby, you have more assistants than George has ever friggin' had. So you do have to have some degree of idea of what the heck's going on. You also do have a liaison with local law enforcement that we learned.
You do.
That happened. That cropped up a few years back. So things are in place. And I know that every time this comes up, we always get guys go, well, Athens Clark PD's got a mean. This is an alleged domestic abuse situation. This isn't trying to get like 1/10 of an ounce of weed in somebody's dorm room, right? You know, or somebody with an expired license or a turn signal that's not working.
Yeah, these are the situations you don't want. I'm not saying that the weed thing is...
There's levels.
Yes, it's different. This is different. Maurice Clark says, Dukes, you do realize three of the last four guys that have gotten in trouble are transfers. Okay, so let me ask you this then, dog fans. Does Dabo have it right? Dogs don't have to take anybody. They recruit like crazy. They get the kids they want to get, and they build, and Kirby's talked about this, they build the recruiting. Does Dabo have it right?
We built this program in God's name.
Because I'm not hearing any of this nonsense at Clemson,
yeah.
Mike.
Now, everybody's saying, well, yeah, I mean, look, let's not swing the pendulum off the other way because Dabo still has gone backwards now. He's not winning, you know, national championships. He's not beating Alabama's. He just got smoked by Georgia. And look, the ACC is down. I'll be curious when Clemson locks horns, you know, with Miami, you know, what that's going to be about. Miami's been living dangerously, but it looks like the cream of the crop. But, you know, when you're up there with the service academies, I think there's a happy medium, Carl. I think Mike Norvell at Florida State has shown you when you don't have a culture, when you bring in guys, you've got to have a bedrock like Kirby does of 5 or 6 or 10 leaders on that team. Florida State doesn't have that. They're looking, remember you said that. If we don't have leaders, if you're looking for leaders in week 2, you don't have any.
No.
And I was at the airport in Dublin. I've been on Florida State trips with boosters. I've never seen a group of less engaged individuals than some of the guys representing Florida State right now. That's part of going maybe too far with it. But I think there's a balance. You've got to be able to, like, if you need a wide receiver or somebody transfers out or you've got an injury, go get somebody. But do your due diligence. Rah-rah Thomas, and apparently now if all accusations are accurate, and again, don't know yet, Kobe Young, some of these guys you recruited back in high school, but you lost out to another team. So you probably know some of these guys, but as I brought up, you know, maybe you don't have that level of familiarity, and you don't know what you're getting into.
Yeah, I just say that to answer Maurice as if that's the concern, then don't take them. If you think that's the problem, then don't take them.
You know, there was a stigma before the portal of, like, guys that transfer
were
issue guys. They didn't have the work ethic. You know, you always talk about Kevin Sumlin lost his program because guys were all crybabies at quarterback, no. And they all split. And in the case of, you know, Joe Burrow, he kind of changed that narrative going from Ohio State to LSU, putting the work in and has a Heisman Trophy season. But Joe's the exception, you know, to the rule. I think most of the times you get involved with this, look at the Bear Alexander kid. He's on his third program. He's quit on USA after leaving Georgia.
Yeah, it's a great point. I think with the quarterbacks, I always look at them differently because, again, if your son is a five-star quarterback, he goes somewhere and can't play for 3 years, you're wasting his time. And now in this day and age, if you could go somewhere else, if you were that kid, you choose to go somewhere else as well. Those situations are always different, Mike. But, you know, no disrespect. The offensive guard that's on his third school.
Right.
Because, well, it didn't work in the last place. Well, the other coach didn't like me. And
right.
Okay, come on. I'm with you on that. I just feel like there are certain circumstances that play out for everybody. But as we talk about this today, and we'll continue to take your thoughts as well, as Kobe Young was arrested early Tuesday morning on misdemeanor charges of battery and assault of a unborn child. That is how it's described. Again, there was some physical, you know, contact. But as we've been reading on this and the story that's being reported, he did not touch her in the area of, you know, the belly or any of that. There was a grab of the arm. Police looked at that. They said no injuries on the arm that allegedly that she said he grabbed her on. So there's a lot of that. But at the end of the day, can't have your kids in these situations. And they got to know better. And Kobe, you're in the middle of trying to chase a national championship. You have to know better when these things go down. It's late in the morning. Go home. Get out of there. And that is the thing, Mike. It's easy for us to say, but we've all been 19, 20, 21, whatever it is. Emotions run high. But at the end of the day, these are not the things you want reported about your program.
And, you know, it is a similar track to how Ra-Ra Thomas got himself got at UGA. So, again, you know, look, you said it. I think some of these dudes, you know, there's everything from, you know, guys that are mature for their age to guys that have just been coddled, you know, just like anybody else. If you're an athlete and you've got a specific skill set, sometimes the rules don't apply for you as you make your way through, you know, high school into college. It's a shame. It's the way it is. But, you know, I just feel if I said on Twitter, I think I've just got a couple of texts from some of my dog friends. One of my buddies, Dale, out in San Diego, who's class of Georgia 88, he goes, this is starting to look really bad. You know, I mean, you want to be able to win, but you want to win above board. But it's getting a little tougher and tougher. One point I made earlier, I just want to go back to. I do think there's a difference in Alabama because I just think everybody in the state has got your back. But I still think when the AJC's got a right to do a story about the driving issues in Athens, I think some people feel that every time something comes up, all of a sudden the media like gets out the knives. No, if it's a story, it's a legitimate story. It stands on its own legs.
Somebody died.
Correct.
You need to investigate.
And then
that.
You had all these like 30 or whatever it was, 40 some odd incidents off the field with driving. So that's, I get it. You know, everyone thinks it's Jan Kemp all over again, like there's an agenda. I don't think that's the case.
No, I don't either. And I take everyone by its own situation, but I don't either. All right, guys, we got plenty more to dive into. I said this is a big week for the Falcons, Mike. I know we'll be up at Flowery Branch tomorrow hanging out, getting a chance to talk to Coach Ra and having some players on as well. As we talk about the Falcons, I will say this today and through the rest of the week. First of all, do you guys think we're a contender? You think we're a contender?
Yes. 100%.
Then you don't lose this game. You do not lose this game. I agree 200%. After seeing what we saw last week, it was not a fluke. It was not a joke. It was not some fly-by-night performance by Kirk Cousins. If we think we are contenders, and you do too, you don't lose this game. Because one, they're not good, and two, it's going to show us, Mike, how focused we are coming off of a performance like that and an emotional win. Can we go in there, handle our business, and get out of there with a dub?
Yeah, I think we can. I think, you know, one thing for certain, though, when they played the Raiders, when they finally cut bait on Bryce Young as a starter, and they went with Andy Dalton carved up the Raiders, and that's Max Crosby, and Max Crosby is probably good as, if not better than, Matthew Judon at this stage of his career. So you've got a pass rush that, you know, still got their butts whipped by Carolina. If you don't get pressure on this guy, still a road game in the NFL. You know, there's still a fine line. And we all think we should go in there and grease these guys by 3 touchdowns. Still a fine line, but I'm with you. A good team doesn't have a letdown. Maybe it's time for us to stop doing the cardiac kid stuff and maybe get in control of a game from start to finish.
Yeah.
Right? And that would be the case up there.
You've won your last three. You don't lose this one.
But you still got to get Andy. Andy Dalton becomes like the punchline to a joke at this stage of his career. But if you give him 3 and 4 seconds back there in the pocket, he will find somebody.
Well, here's the other part of that. And this is what again, determined last week. I'm with you, and I would love to see more sacks, and we know that we're struggling in that area. And we'll ask Coach again tomorrow, man. We'll keep pressing him on this to say, what are you guys trying to do, Jimmy Lake and company? What are you guys trying to do to get more pressure? But, Mike, here's the thing that differentiates all of this. Turnovers. And Andy will throw it to you. And if we get 2 picks or a strip sack or a scoop and score, that changes – whether or not we need 2 or 3 sacks in the game. I agree with you. I want more pressure because we know to play these better quarterbacks in the league, we're going to have to get there. Strip sack. But those things, Jesse Bates last week,
right. That's
the difference in these games, man. And if you can do those things every week and find a way to win the turnover battle, we're going to be all right, even if we're not getting as many sacks right now. I'm not going to say all season because I still want more.
No, but we've got to get heat. We've got to get some consistent heat. And we joked around yesterday about the old Mike Smith and, you know, sacks are overrated. And by the way, we did invoke your strip sack.
Got to do it.
But we played it yesterday. We actually, in your absence, we were able to use strip sack.
Strip sack. Right. Got to do it. Picked it up.
Talk about some of those plays.
Scored.
But yeah, but we guys, can we just call Ebikadie a bust? Ebikadie's a bust. Ebikadie, it's year three. He's not shown it. And we brought in a major legitimate pass rusher opposite him.
How many sacks has he got?
Ebikadie's got what? 1.5? I mean, we've got 5 sacks on the season. I mean, look, I think certainly Grady's doing a decent job. I think Onyemata is solid.
Yeah.
But, I mean, where is the heat? We talked about Lorenzo Carter. We've just got some average guys opposite Matthew Judon. And that's why not much money, Carl, with the cap to try to maybe find something from a team. And then what would you be getting? Man, you really wish we could have pulled off some of those trades that were up on the table last year for some edge rush. But either way, what's he got for the year, Chris?
Zero. That's why
zero.
I asked.
Yep.
Yeah, and Judon 1.5, but he's got a nice tip ball that led to a pick 6. He's made some other plays that I think are significant, which, again, that's impacting the game. To Mike's point, you are considered to be a pass rusher. This is your job, and you're not impacting the game the way we expect you to. So I understand that. And listen, it's hard for me to sit here and tell you, Mike, what are we going into week 5, 6, 5?
Right.
6? That with 0 sacks?
No, I mean, look, if we had pulled off that Montez Sweat deal, but the Bears had more to offer when they were dangling around the Commanders. So, you know, we've got Judon and a bunch of just dudes. So maybe Ruka Roro. It sucks that Braylon Trice had that injury because I mean, just from practice and from watching at camp, really thought this guy was going to have an impact as a rookie, but we're going to wait till next year.
All right, guys. 3 of our last 4 we won. I said we won our last 3. Of course, that was the Chiefs game. Should have won it, refs. But you cannot go to the Panthers and have a letdown. Late start Sunday, 4:25. This is a big game because of that. And we're going to learn a lot about this team. Good teams, contenders, don't go lay eggs in these situations. So Ra and everybody associated with getting these guys ready, that's where I'm at this week, Mike. And we'll find out coming up as we get up there tomorrow at Flowery Branch. 404-726-0929. Headlines brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live well as we talk about the Falcons and the Dogs. We've got plenty to get to. A bunch of guests that are going to stop by as well. Wes Durham's going to join us. Coming up next hour, Frank Schwab, Yahoo Sports, NFL inside coverage as well. He's got a podcast that he does. I mean, he's great. And we'll talk about all these things. The Robert Saleh thing is leading the news, right? Because it's right. NFL. He's the first head coach to be fired this year. They're a mess on many levels. And, Mike, I really feel like you've got a quarterback running that franchise. And that, until that changes, and he's not a 25-year-old quarterback. He's a 40-year-old quarterback.
Look, Robert Saleh, real quick, I know we got to catch a break. A couple guys, a lot of misinformation like there always is now, unfortunately. He wasn't making – you feel he's making a political statement by having a Lebanese flag?
No.
They went to – you could wear heritage stickers and patches. Coaches can wear patches. Hell, the head of security, Dom, has an Italian patch on his Philadelphia pullover on the sideline. Guys get to wear the stickers of their heritage on the helmets. Coaches get to wear patches. So, and I had all this stuff from some guy. No, it's that's not why he got fired. Now – He's not any good, but I would have, first things first, I would have done it in stages. I would have said, fire Nathaniel Hackett. Get rid of Hackett. Get somebody in there who can actually do the job. Jeff Ulbricht, who was here with the Falcons for years as a linebacker coach, good guy. As a number of guys have pointed out, I always thought it was Mora, but Mora and cahoots with Ulbricht. Ulbricht was the guy that sold Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff on Jack McKinley over T.J. Watt, which will relive an infamy here for the Falcons. But either way, he gets his shot, Carl, as an interim head coach.
Yeah, the Saleh thing for me, Mike, is pretty simple. And by the way, Nathaniel Hackett's not going anywhere.
He's terrible. He's terrible.
But he's not going anywhere as long as Aaron Rodgers is there. That's his guy.
That's his rubber stamp.
So I'm just telling you guys, everybody like, it doesn't make sense. The offense is terrible. It is.
Well, to also understand, Woody Johnson is an idiot. He is the idiot fourth son of the Johnson & Johnson empire. Go look at his record. He's put his foot in his mouth. He's a putz. He's a born on third base guy. That's what it is.
But they needed to do this. My thing is, and we'll talk about it coming up in the Blitz, but why don't you just do this in the offseason? There was no belief, Mike, in the building about where this was going.
Well, why don't you fire your general manager who made a trade with the Eagles for a guy that you knew you were going to have to pay who's on the sideline?
Yeah, Joe Douglas. This is a mess. That's what I'm saying. It is bigger than just Robert Saleh, but he's the first head coach to get got. Also, Rusty Manziel is going to join us, guys. Bill Bender. We got a lot of college football, a lot of NFL talk on the way. Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell. Woody Johnson speaking to the media as we speak. That's the owner of the Jets. And apparently, Mike, he said that he spoke to Aaron Rodgers the night before. Remember, they were in London.
Yep.
It was an ugly performance. But the Jets have had pretty much, that kind of season. This offense hasn't looked right. And somebody, whether you want to think it's the scapegoat, I just don't think Robert Saleh is a good head coach. I think he's a very good defensive coordinator. And he'll get another gig somewhere else sooner or later. But, if you're the Jets, Mike, now you put yourself in contention, whether you want to do it or not, would he go back there? There's that guy named Belichick out there. And I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't know if Woody Johnson is that desperate. But you put yourself in that whole mix to say, hey, we're the first team, and we want a guy to come in here and do it his way and whatever that's going to look like. But here's the thing. How long do you stay committed to Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, and that's where you sort of say, okay, I've got a guy who's not going to be – again, only Tom Brady can do what Tom Brady did. And then maybe Aaron Rodgers could have gotten them to the playoffs and beyond last year. We're never going to know. And now you got a 40-year-old guy on a bum Achilles. We've got a guy who's just coming into his own, who's 4 years younger, and hopefully he will see it through. But you're in a really tough spot because you've got an egomaniac quarterback who's bigger than the team, has always put his needs and his personal wants above the team, says one thing, does another, and that's kind of been his MO the last 10 years. So you got that, as you said, you got his handpicked stooge as offensive coordinator. And you got to understand, guys, in the NFL locker room, people who can do the job are respected. People who can't do the job, people recognize that in that building.
They do.
And Nathaniel Hackett can't do that job. The fact that, according to the New York Post, Saleh was escorted from the Jets facility, never got a chance to say goodbye to the team.
It happens. It happens around the league. I think you'd be surprised at how many times guys get fired and you think it's, oh, wait a minute, I get a chance to say goodbye to the players. Hey, let me say goodbye to the secretary. Get him out of here. Mike, I hate it for him from that standpoint because I do think that's unfair. But at the end of the day, they're ready to move on, and this is how it's going to go down for Robert Saleh. 404-726-0929. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your game at mancavestore.com and find all of your needs there. Let's talk about the Falcons offense here because as we talk about this game with Carolina, and again, later start, 425 this weekend, guys, can we sustain the level of offensive success we had in the game last week? The answer is no. You're not going to throw for 500 yards every week. But, Mike, can we be more consistent than what we've seen? Because, by far, that was the most exciting we've been all year long, and a lot of that was just on the shoulders of Kirk Cousins. But what can we expect going into this one? Listen, we got Pitts involved, and all the things you guys talked about while I was out, Okay. Can we build on that? Can we continue that momentum with this offense?
I mean, dude, you're working yourself into a state. They're going to be okay. I think we got Carolina. I think Carolina's a bad football team. I mean, as I said earlier, you got to get pressure on the quarterback because they still have weapons and they still have some pieces on defense. And there's a road game in the NFL, so I understand where you're coming from. But I mean, I do think
we had Carolina last year.
Yeah, but we didn't have a quarterback last year. We had a lot more pieces. Come on, you had a bum at quarterback. Come on, don't please.
I'm just saying.
Come on,
it's the NFL.
I'll bet you $100 we cover the spread. I bet you $100 right now.
It's the NFL. I'm not going to say we've got anything.
No, I understand. You've got to build up a kind of a confidence in your team that we're no longer going to be pulling things out of our tuchus. But this is a team that you're right. You can't have a letdown because it's still a road game in the NFL. I get all that, but I do believe that we've turned a corner. I believe that you're starting to see things again. When you got a quarterback going for 500 yards, I mean, give me him. I mean, against a good playoff caliber team in the Bucs, I like our chances on the road. I get where you're coming from, but I'm not going to fret about it just yet.
I'm not fretting. You're fretting. No. I'm saying they've got to prove to us that there's no letdown, and more importantly, that when you go into these games, if you're a contender, you win these games. But Mike, these games are the kind of games that we've lost in years past when we thought we were going to be good, when you thought we were going to take the next step. Right. And again, we're not just talking about last year. Look at the history of the team. I mean, these are the kind of games you go, Falcons have the lock, it's going to be easy. And it just never is. But this last week is a prime example of you just never know. Patriots are a bad team. Dolphins barely won. They don't have a quarterback. I mean, the Commanders smacked the hell out of the Browns. Everybody's talking about the Browns and how good the defense was before the season started and all these things. Browns look terrible.
No, I mean, I get it. They've got they've got a guy that can deliver the football. That's why I was saying you've got to get some pressure on them. But, no, their defense has given up 100 points in the last three games. You know, over the years, we've had some real trouble with their defensive line, and that's not the same. Now, they did pick up Jadeveon Clowney. They lose Brian Burns. You know, I mean, Derek Brown banged up. So there's just – it's not the same Panthers, but it's still a divisional rival, and it's the NFL. They beat the L.A. – I mean, they beat the Vegas Raiders with Max Crosby.
They did. And that's all I'm saying. I'm not going to go in and just say – because we thought that last year, this team was terrible. They can't win a game, and we blew it. Mm. And so I am saying – this is one of those games. There are not a lot of these on the schedule where you're winning, you come off of an emotional win, and all of a sudden now you've got a team that's lesser than you are, and you should win. And if you don't, then what does that say about your coaching staff and, more importantly, your preparation? That's where I'm at.
Right. And I know that as we get to folks to buy into this, you know, and again, I was joking around yesterday about my neighbor, Dennis, who's kind of like, you know, Dennis the Downer. He's still like, yeah, and he's saying the same thing. Well, don't blow it against Carolina. I get it. I mean, you got to win the trust back some of the fans, but I do think we have turned a corner with this team. I think Bijan Robinson, we've covered the Pitts thing, and hopefully now we're onward and upward, and Pitts continues to be that kind of role player in this offense, and more than that, and get some touchdowns in the red zone. The next thing I want to check off as far as a box of concerns as a Falcon fan is the edge rush and finding some, whether you got a blitz or how you get that thing going.
You still worried about Cousins?
No, I'm off that. That was my thing until, look, you made every single play. They were getting after him. He was able to move around, able to overcome the pick. I think there was a time this year, and I think certainly when he first came on to the Falcons, he's not close to 100%. I think that Saints game was a bit of that rust that they talked about. And I still think he's maybe not 100%, Carl, but I'm not concerned as a fan. I think he's good to go. He certainly looked – you can't argue when a guy throws for the team record, single game passing record.
Well, and for me, I mean, you ask him to throw it 58 times, you're saying go win the game for us. I mean, if you ask the quarterback to go throw it 48 times, he threw it 58 times.
Now, I don't like that lack of balance on your run game.
No, but I think it was the way the ebbs and flows of the game. I agree with you. I'd love to run it more and be more consistent there. But I hope that you are not concerned. I'm talking to you out there. You shouldn't be concerned. He's fine. He's going to be fine. Can he play as well as he did last week? Now, that's a whole other question, because Kurt's got to put some of these back-to-back performances together as well. We'd love to hear from you guys, 404-726-0929. Mike says it's a lock. Go ahead and lock it up for this weekend. I'm hesitant. I do think we'll win, but I'm not going to go there because this thing is crazy, man.
You're not looking ahead, Carl?
I can't. I want to. After last week, I want to, but is this not the quintessential letdown game? Seriously. You win in overtime?
But we're going to find out how – I'd have to – it's hard to ask, go back and look at the stats because it's been so long ago. Like, what was Raheem like coming off a bye or a mini bye when you have that Thursday game? Does his staff prepare? I think, if anything, Bijan gets healthier. I think Bijan's hamstring's been tweaked.
Do you hold him down a little bit this week?
I mean, just
if you don't think they're that good.
Well, I think if you feel that you can get by with, you know, 11 touches, which is what he had last week against the Bucs, you can do that. And certainly Algier can certainly handle the role, whatever that's going to be in the Zach Robinson offense. But yeah, I just feel that this team has made that's a huge come out of those first five games, 3-2. And that's really big. And now you feel good about Cousins. Now my next issue now is, where is this pass rush? When do we become a team which gets after the quarterback? Our defense is holding teams to field goals, and there's nothing wrong with that, Carl. But at some point, you are going to have to get the QB on the ground.
Yeah, I don't know if we have the guys, Mike. I don't know if we have the guys. I mean, we have a really good defense, and we have opportunistic playmakers, and you've seen that with Bates and Simmons and other guys. Even Judon, as I talked about with the tip and the pick six. I don't know if we have those guys. When I look at these other defenses around the league, and I'm going, where is that guy on our team? I don't know if we have that. But as a collective group, maybe they can put it together and be good enough to take us where we want to go. Again, you don't have to have the best defense in the league to go to the Super Bowl, even though the Chiefs did last year. You don't have to have a top five defense to go to the Super Bowl. We didn't when we went in 16. But you've got to be able to make some plays and get off the field. And so that's what they're doing right now. And I'll take it. I mean, I'm with you on the pass rush. But I just don't know if we have the guys.
I mean, you can be as, like, I always go back to that 16 team, which was young. The team the Saints had that won the Super Bowl, that beat the Colts, that was an opportunistic defense. And with guys like Jesse Bates and Simmons, and, you know, eventually, hopefully, you know, we're going to see, you know, our corners start to, you know, get to be a little more ball hawking. That's the one thing you can overcome some of that. But you've got to find it. I wonder if they're going to look at that room and say, I don't really have that dog in that room. Lorenzo Carter's had ample opportunity, and I felt, wow. Get Jude on the opposite side. This is where maybe things can pop for him. Through five games, it's not really happening. You know, and the same goes, we already touched on Epicady. We just don't really have those guys in this room.
Do they, is it more time? Is it, do you just think that this is what it's going to be?
I mean, it's the third year and it's the fifth game of the third year for Arnold Epicady, second round pick.
Yeah.
And I just don't think he's that dog.
Okay.
But although you would have said he's coming off, five and a half sacks last year.
Six.
And you bring in a real stud like Judon. Or maybe Jimmy Lake's asking these guys to do something where some of those individual numbers aren't going to pop.
It's possible.
Like when you bring Judon and you're bringing him back in coverage.
Yeah.
That's certainly a couple of plays you're not going to be getting hands on the QB.
It's definitely possible. I just, you know, the I can't argue with the Ebikadi thing as much as I would love to see him have more impact. My thing is impact. My thing is, if you're not going to sack the quarterback, that's fine. But get a tip ball, man. Get a pick. Get a fumble. Right. You strip somebody, make something happen, Mike. And if you're doing those things, that can make up for this other stuff. In the meantime, while we're trying to figure this out, it's a long season. But I also don't think that you go from being a mediocre sack team to being one of the best by the end of the season.
No, you hope, unless you're – that's where, like, a Braylon Trice's evolution, he would have hit the – guys, if you had seen him – I know no one got to see camp this year, and he got injured so quick in the preseason. Trice looked like he had the minerals to be that kind of a dude.
Yeah.
In case you're wondering, we got five sacks. Carolina's got six. We've given up six touchdowns in the air. They've given up 11.
Mm.
So I think we'll be – I mean – I think you feel good. You know, anything can happen on Sunday, but I feel good.
Yeah, and I feel great about the team. I mean, I'm like everybody else. I'm still basking in the glow of that dub, but I also know this is the NFL, and you cannot go like this week. And I'm not saying they will, but we're going to learn a little bit about our team. You go handle business this week. It gives us a lot of confidence moving forward. 404-726-0929. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, we will get into a deeper conversation about what's going on around the league. Justin Fields in Pittsburgh. They're saying that Russ is going to be practicing this week. He is a full go. That might mean, Mike, there's a quarterback competition coming. I think they got the Raiders coming up. Also, we'll talk about Daniel Jones. And we'll get into this firing of Robert Saleh with the Jets. It is the big news in the NFL today. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell.